I'm deeply grateful to the officers of Torah Way and to the officers of Avos Avonim in London for inviting me and allowing me to speak on this very special day of Purim and the very special moment of the Beis Medrash Mordechai HaTzadik, the Yeshivas Mordechai HaTzadik, which has now become such a staple in so many communities all over Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Sai, it's really so beautiful to be able to speak to you on Purim, but every thinking Jew, every thinking Yid, has to have some pain in his heart, because it is just a few days after the Shiva for the precious 8 Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael who were killed while they were indeed learning Torah. I'm sure you know about it, just like we know about it in America, the terrible tragedy that happened in Eretz Yisrael. And yet, today is Purim. Today is a time of Simcha. And so, how do we reconcile? How do we behave on a day like this, which is really supposed to be a day of happiness, and yet, on the other hand, is so close to a day that was of terrible, terrible sadness, not only for those 8 families in Eretz Yisrael, but for all of Klal Yisrael. It's very interesting that one of the most famous psukim that we have in the Megillah, it's in Megillas Esther, Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches, it tells us that Haman said to Achashverosh, Yeshnoi am echad mufuzar umafoirad bein ha'amim. There's a nation that's scattered and dispersed among the nations. In other words, the Yidden are all over the place. And the Pashat of Shana, the Pasuk is that Haman was saying to Achashverosh, you have nothing to worry about. Go make a gzeira against them. They're never going to band together. They're all over the place. They'll never be able to fight you as one unit. So do whatever you want against them. But Mefarshim learned that there's a deeper message here than the simple Pashat of Pshat. The deeper message is, why did Klal Yisrael find itself Bitzara? Why were they having such problems? Because Mefuzar Umafoirat Beino Amim. Because they were not Ba'achtos. They were separated. They didn't care for each other. And they were far apart from each other in the love and in the caring that one Yid is supposed to have for another. And so therefore, how did Esther make the tikkun? The tikkun happened in Perek Dalet Pasuk Tezvav and Tezayin. She says to Mordechai, Leich kenois es kol ha-yehudim. Gather together all the Yidden. So it's not only gather together all the Yidden in davening and in fasting and in pain, but it's gather together the Yidden in achdos, in love and concern for each other. And once you do that, then you undo the Shrek Lecha aspect that was existent in Klal Yisrael, that Mefuzar Umafoirad, that they were scattered and dispersed. I want to read you a letter. And again, maybe on a normal Purim I wouldn't read this letter because it's so sad. But this is a Purim that's different than any other Purim that we have experienced in our lifetimes. This is a letter that was written by a young Kailo man in Harnof, and he wrote it to the 8 families who had to bury their children. And he wrote like this, the truth is that I am from abroad, from England. I am here learning in a Kailo in Harnof in Yerushalayim. I did not know your son Yochai, and I didn't even know anything about Yeshiva's Merkaz Harav. But I'm writing to tell you that even though that I don't know you at all, your sorrow is my sorrow, your pain is my pain, and your loss is my loss. It's not just your personal tragedy, but rather the tragedy of all of us. We have all lost a brother, we have all lost a son, and I'm crying together with you. And he ends the long letter with this paragraph. I just wanted to add that I give you my word with no intention to vow, that just as his memory will never be forgotten by you, it won't be forgotten by me. And the memory of your son, Yochai, will always be before me. I pray that we know no more sorrow. And of course, perhaps it's appropriate to mention the names of those Kedoshim, Doron, Roi, Yonadav, Yochai, Yonatan, Neria, Segev, and Avram David. You know, you have to wonder, and so many people have wondered about this, How could such a terrible tragedy have happened on Rosh Chodesh Adar? Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mishanichnas Adar, Marbim B'Simcha. Chazal tell us that when Adar comes, we increase our Simcha, and yet such a Shreklecha tragedy happened on Rosh Chodesh Adar. And you know, recently, Rav Avrom Shor mentioned something from the Sfas Emes, which is so brilliant, the Taich and a Gemara in Tainus Choftes Amir Aleph that the Sfas Emes says. You know, we all know the famous expression, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. When Adar comes, Simcha is added. You increase your Simcha. But take a look at the Gemara in Tainus Choftes Amir Aleph, you'll see an amazing thing, says the Sfas Emes. Kishem, Shemishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha. Just like when Av, the month of Av comes, we minimize our Simcha because we think about the two Batei Mikdashos that were destroyed. Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. The same way, when Adar comes, we increase our Simcha. So the Sfas Emes asks, what is the Kishem? What do you mean? Just like by Av you minimize the Simcha, by Adar you maximize the Simcha. What is the Kishem? What's the connection? And the answer is, the way I understand it, that a person, only those people who felt the pain of Av. What is the pain of Av? The Gemara tells us that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash because there's Sinas Chinam, because there's hatred for no reason, and we don't get along with each other. So maybe we didn't feel that pain in Av, and therefore that's what the Gemara is telling us. Kishem Shemenichnas Av Mematin B'Simcha. Only the way you minimize the Simcha in Av, if you felt that pain, and you felt that you had to do something about Klal Yisrael, working together with Klal Yisrael, loving Klal Yisrael, then Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. Then you Zeichen Adar to increase the Simcha. So now the question is, what is our response? What does the Rabbeinu Shlomo want from us? And I believe that the answer is Achdus. And the answer, you understand it from this Gemara of Kishem and Tainus Choftes Amid Aleph. So let me tell you two beautiful stories, and you'll see what it means when Yidden care for each other. One story actually took place on Purim itself. Rav Shlomo Zalman, many, many years ago in Eretz Yisrael, of course he was the Gadol Hador of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. There was a young woman in Yerushalayim that had a broken engagement, and she was very sad about it. She was wondering if she would ever be able to find a chosen. And so she asked her father, please, Tati, take me to the Adam Godol, to the great Rav Shlomo Zalman. I should get a brocha that I'll be able to find a chosen and build a family in Klal Yisrael. So this father delayed and delayed. He was always so busy. And finally it came the day of Purim. And he wasn't working on Purim. So he said, okay, I'll take you today. But you know these people, sometimes the guys who delay, they always delay. So he delayed and delayed until it was late afternoon. And finally they came to Rav Shlomo Zalman. And Rav Shlomo Zalman in Shari Chesed was already eating the Suda. And the father felt a little bad. He's going to interrupt the great tzaddik in the middle of his Suda. But what should he do? He promised his daughter. So he goes inside to the dining room where Rav Shlomo Zalman is. And he says, Rosh Hashiva, I'm so sorry. Please, Rebbe, he says his daughter has a broken engagement. And maybe the Rav could give her a bracha, to give her chizuk, that she'll find a chosen, the right chosen. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says, of course, I'll be happy to give her a bracha. Tell her to wait outside. I'll come right out where she is. She shouldn't come in here. So he said, no, Rebbe, I feel bad. You know, you're already in the middle of the Suda. I'll bring her in here. No, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I want to go out to her. And he goes out to her, and he goes out to the young woman. And those of us who remember Rav Shlomo Zalman, his very warm smile and his beautiful face, and he gives the girl a bracha, a very varma bracha. And he says to her, I give you a bracha that you'll find the right chosen, and you'll be able to build a bayis neman b'Yisrael. And he gives her such a warm, friendly smile, and gives her such encouragement. And she is so overwhelmed that she starts crying. And when she was crying, Rav Shlomo Zalman turned to the father and he says, now you understand why I didn't want that she should come inside to the dining room, because I understood that maybe she would cry after I spoke to her. Imagine how she would be so embarrassed in front of everyone, in front of my family members, if she cried. Like this, it's out here in private, nobody sees, so she's not embarrassed. That's achdus. That's concern. That's a tzaddik ador worried about a simple girl, a simple girl's feelings. The father really had no business coming so late. He had no business taking Rav Shlomo Zalman and interrupting his suda. But an Adam Gadol goes beyond the call of duty, and he goes, and he goes out to the girl, not that the girl comes into him, and rather he goes out and he gives her the bracha in a very sensitive, caring way. That's how we have to remember when we speak to other people, whether it's our brothers or sisters, our parents, our rebbeim, our co-workers, anybody in Klal Yisrael. Not only say what you want to say, whatever you think of saying, think how they are going to receive those words. Are they going to be happy to hear those words? Are you making a joke at somebody else's expense? Everybody's going to get a big laugh. Especially Purim, you have to be careful. Sometimes we say things, maybe we drink a little bit, and we're a little high, or at least we act as if we're high, we're not really high, and we think we're going to get away with something. But it can be very painful and very embarrassing. So be careful what you say to other people. And one more fabulous story. Listen to this. There's a person in Eretz Yisrael, his name is Rabbi Yosef Goodfarb. Rabbi Yosef Goodfarb has not missed davening with a minyan in years. Wherever he goes in the world, he knows the schedule, and he knows exactly what office building is going to have a minyan, what shul is going to have a minyan, so he doesn't miss a minyan. It happened a few years ago that he came home 3 o'clock in the morning from a chasana, and he realized he didn't daven ma'ariv. So of course he didn't daven ma'ariv with a minyan. So where's he going to get a minyan 3 o'clock in the morning? So in New York, if you're in Flatbush, there's a place called Landau's. And in the Borough Park, there's a place called Shem Shabbos. And in Bnei Brak, there's a place called Itzkowitz. All these places, they have minyanim day and night. So in Yishlaim, there's also a place like that. It's called Zichron Moshe. So this guy goes to Zichron Moshe. He comes there 3:15 a.m. in the morning. Of course, he sees one guy sitting there. He says, excuse me, did you daven ma'ariv yet? He says, no, I didn't daven. He says, you think we're going to have a minyan? He says, what are you talking about? It's after 3 o'clock in the morning here. In an hour and a half, it's going to be vesikin. They're going to soon daven shachris. He says, oh, but what should I do? I haven't missed a minyan in years. Listen to what this guy thinks of. The guy says, okay. And he says, he's going to call an Israeli taxi company. He calls an Israeli taxi company. He says, send me 8 cabs with 8 Israeli drivers. Imagine he was able to think of such an idea. So the guy, the dispatcher says, who's got 8 cabs? 3 o'clock in the morning. He says, how many you got? He says, I got 5. Okay, send me 5 cabs, Israeli drivers. He calls another company. He says, send me 3 cabs, Israeli drivers. 10 minutes later, there's 8 cabs standing outside Zichron Moshe, and they're all wondering, come on, what's going on here? Where's the chasana? Where's the bar mitzvah? Who are we taking home? So he tells everybody, Rabbi, start your meters. Everybody, the meters should run from the taxis and come into shul. I got to talk to you. And he tells them, Rabbi, I never missed a minyan. Haven't missed a minyan in years. I'm ready to pay anything just as long as I don't miss davening ma'ariv with a minyan. And they all come in. Some of them knew already about davening ma'ariv, but some secular Israelis didn't know anything. They don't know how to read Hebrew. They don't know about ma'ariv. So it took 25 minutes and he davened ma'ariv with everybody together, and then they go outside. He goes outside, he goes over to the first frum guy who came. He says, sir, how much do I owe you? The guy says, Rav Yid, I've been davening all my life. In my life, I never davened in such a heilig minyan that somebody is willing to pay 8 different taxis just so that he should be able to daven with a minyan. It's such a schus to daven in such a minyan with you, I wouldn't take a penny. He goes to a secular Israeli guy. The guy didn't even have a yarmulke. He had to give him one. He says to him, how much do I owe you, sir? He says, listen, I haven't davened in years. Tonight you gave me the big schus that I should be able to daven in such a holy minyan. I should pay you, not that you should pay me. And of course, all the 8 didn't take, nobody took a penny from him. All the 8 who came out in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, to daven ma'ariv with him, that's achdus. When you see that a yid does a mitzvah, you see that a yid is an elach yid, and you do anything for such a person, that's achdus, and that's what we have to learn. I just want to end with this beautiful Hasidic story. The story goes like this, that there was a Rebbe that once went to an inn. He went to a motel overnight with his Hasidim. It came in the morning to check out, and he said to the owner, he said, sir, that clock that you had in my room that chimed every hour on the hour, that's a very holy clock. I never heard such a holy clock in my life. Who owned that clock? Tell me which tzaddik owned that clock. So the owner said, I don't know what you're talking about. It's a regular clock like any clock. It chimes every hour on the hour. He says, no, I'm telling you, it's very holy. It's very special. He says, what do you mean? Why is it special? What happened? He said, I'll tell you. He says, usually, every time when I hear a clock chime on the hour, every hour on the hour, I feel very sad. Because every hour is really an hour closer to death. So every hour that goes by is closer to a person's death. So I feel sad that I've used up another hour of my life. But this clock, a whole night, every time that it chimed on the hour, I felt, oy vey, it's gewaldic, it's 1 hour closer to Mashiach. And so therefore, I'm sure that there's some Rebbe, somebody must have owned this clock, that I was able to have this machshava when this clock chimed, that it's 1 hour closer to Mashiach. And they found, Taka, that in generations before, this clock was owned by the Chayza of Lublin. The reason that I tell you this, Kindalach, and fathers and grandfathers and everybody listening on the CD, is that really, every hour is really an hour closer to death. But every hour is really an hour closer to Mashiach. Sometimes we go through Ikvasa de Mashiach. We go through the times of Mashiach, Chevle Mashiach. All these pains, and we can't see that this is really building towards the ultimate goal, which is Mashiach. I believe that if we learn the lesson of not being the Am Echad Mufuzar or Mufayrat Beino Amim, but Lech Kenoi, says Kol Yehudim, gather together Ba'ava, Ba'achtos, and concern for each other like Rabbi Shlomo Zalman had, like all those taxi drivers had for Rabbi Yosef Goodfarb, then Taka, every hour we can look forward that it will Taka be an hour of Achtos and an hour closer to Mashiach. It should happen in our time, and in this month of Adar, we should be able to go from Adar into Nisan. And this one will be the month of Geula Be'ezras Hashem.